ask and you shall receive. What's up, guys? Welcome back to the 5-Minute Peel. My name is David here. We got a recent request to break down Palantir stock. There hasn't been a whole lot of earnings news around Palantir since they rose 40% following their latest earnings report. So obviously the stock has been absolutely popping off. We're going to dive into it a little bit more in-depthly here and see what the future might look like for the firm. All right. You guys know how this goes by now. Let's go ahead and share my screen, and then we can go ahead and get into things here. So, Palantir, is this a valuation victory, or are they soon to be a victim? Let's go ahead and talk about it. So, we got a lot to break down here with this one. We have much more in terms of kind of a fundamental analysis that we want to take a look at in this case. Now, as we can see, the firm's market cap has grown quite a bit recently, over 213% in the past year alone, and about 12% over the past 3 years, because that pegs us back to 2021 when markets were absolutely popping off. So that kind of makes sense. We can start to see why, breaking things down a little bit more. We can see that revenue growth has drastically outpaced that of COGS. And then if we go down to EBIT margins, we can see that it's drastically outpaced that of operating expenses as well. Now, the company has never had a positive operating expense on an annual basis prior, and the same goes for its net income. Now, we can see that down here below. A big reason for that is this drastic increase in net interest income, which obviously doesn't make a whole lot of sense operationally, but it shows that they're managing their capital efficiently. What they did, which we'll talk about in a quick second with the investing cash flows, is they dumped a ton of money into marketable securities, earning very high interest rates, of course. So, you know, you might see the cash balance decrease, the marketable securities right back up there. Not really anything to be concerned about. Another cool thing that we noticed here was the absolute explosion in operating cash flows as well. And the big reason for that has been this reduction in stock-based compensation, you know, freeing up expenses to be played somewhere else. Now, that's kind of really where we stand right now. The company also has absolutely no long-term debt, so solvency really isn't a question for this company. Their liquidity is very solid, as we can see with their cash ratio and these marketable securities that I mentioned just a second ago. So we're in a solid position right now. The company has been rewarded for that over the past year. We can see that it's up quite a bit. Now, this is somewhat of a cherry pick in terms of putting it at 1 year, because it was at near its valuation low, or near its all-time low at that point. So, you know, it's done well over the past year. It's been rewarded for that performance. Let's go ahead and see what they're talking about going forward. So recently we received those Q4 of 2023 results, and that was when the stock was up 40% in one or two trading sessions. It was absolutely ridiculous. The market was loving these numbers. And, you know, once we break it down a little bit, why wouldn't they be? Revenue of $608 million for the quarter, growing 20% year over year, 9% quarter over quarter. This was the real big news of the quarter. U.S. commercial revenue grew 70%. So Palantir basically breaks down the company into two segments, commercial and government. Commercial being large enterprises, government is much more restricted here. In the commercial side of things, also tends to have a little bit of a lower margin, just because there's more negotiations that are going to go on when you're dealing with a private enterprise as opposed to a public one. So we're seeing dramatic revenue growth in this segment, but that might come with some margin detraction in the future as well if it starts to dominate the revenue mix. Number of customers absolutely exploded to bulk, or 55% year over year, 22% for the quarter. This was their first positive EPS. Well, not their first for a quarter, but it was their first positive EPS for a full fiscal year. They saw revenue grow 17% for that full fiscal year. And once again, commercial revenue absolutely blowing away expectations at 36% growth. Adjusted free cash flow, this was a huge margin for them at 33%. Pretty much the first time that it's, you know, an actual material margin, so seeing it jump up that much is very enticing. Adjusted operating income was solid. Free cash flows, like we just said, is going to be $731 million. All right, scrolling down a little bit more, taking a look at some of the guidance and what this might imply in terms of overall growth rates. We can see they're expecting revenue of about $612 to $616 million for the quarter, and right within this range of about $2.65 to $2.67 billion for the full year. Now, that's pretty weak-ass growth for the quarter, but that's not really what anybody was looking at. This is solid growth compared to the prior year, if it actually does materialize. And then it would be solid growth for the full year as well. So this is what got everybody excited. And then even more so, the continued expansion in operating income and free cash flow margin, as we can see down here. That is extremely solid growth, especially on the upper end of this free cash flow margin. If they actually do generate that $1 billion in free cash flow, that's going to be huge for the company overall. All right, so that's why everybody was so excited following the report. But when we kind of take a step back and see how much the stock has been rewarded already for this performance, that's where the questions start to arise. So let's go ahead and see what's going on. Now, Of course, we want to commend them for this free cash flow growth. It's been positive since, way back here, Q1 of 2021. They've been rocketing following the pandemic. The AI boom obviously has a lot to do with that. But one of the best things is that we're actually seeing an expanding free cash flow margin. It's not like it just started to grow and petered off a little bit, but that margin is expanding as well, meaning free cash flow is rising faster than revenue. And that means that the company is doing a really good job managing that cash. This is great for shareholders. All right, so moving on down below, we can see the total customer account. This is another huge metric for Palantir that everybody's paying attention to. I mean, this thing is up and to the right. This thing is growing ridiculously fast, faster than weeds in my yard that I have to go pick out. So that impressive stuff, although it is starting to see kind of a decline in that growth. But for a company as old as Palantir to still be receiving 35.4% customer growth in a single quarter, that is pretty unbelievable. Now, let's go ahead and summarize where we are right now. Really doesn't take a whole lot of analysis to realize that Palantir is absolutely killing it on a fundamental basis. They are doing phenomenally. The business is working well. They're growing customers, growing free cash flows and revenue. The stock has been extremely rewarded for that. Now, this thing does deserve a premium valuation for all the reasons listed out here. They're a US-based company that usually gets a higher margin, or a higher valuation, excuse me. Being a high margin company, obviously you're going to get a higher valuation for that if you're able to suck more, if you're able to keep more dollars from your total revenue line. Being a tech company is going to get a higher valuation. Being a younger company as well, kind of new on the scene. Of course, they recently became profitable and that's going to boost their valuation multiple. Then of course, the AI boom as well, that has recently supported that multiple as well. So they have all of these reasons to justify having some kind of a higher multiple. But the question is, how much higher? That's not really a question that anybody can answer fundamentally. So we're going to analyze some different scenarios in just a quick second. But what we're wondering right now is, can they maintain this growth? Can they maintain their sky-high margins with that growth and with competition sure to arise? And most of all, the big question here is, can they maintain their valuation? All right, so we broke it down a little bit here. Now, the company does have a current forward price to earnings multiple of about 76.7 and a current forward EV to sales of 19.1. Both ridiculously high. I mean, like we said, there is some justification for this, but just know as we kind of break this down, that's ridiculously high already. That is absolutely way above the S&P 500 average, or somewhere between the range of about 15 to 20 on an earnings basis and somewhere more like 3 to 5 on a price to sales basis. All right, so first and foremost, what we wanted to do here is kind of break down what we might expect for 2024. So we want to see what kind of valuation multiple this thing would need to retain in order to at least maintain its current share price. And that's what we're looking at here. So we used essentially management guidance for this. This is the midpoint of the range for that management provided that we just talked about a second ago. So this is kind of the midpoint growth that they're expecting. This is also what they're kind of implying for net margin. They didn't explicitly give income guidance, but they gave operating income guidance and free cash flow guidance as well. So this is kind of what we determined would be the ultimate net margin if those came into fruition. Now, that implies a net income of just under $400 million. We're assuming the same amount of diluted shares outstanding, no creation of that, which is, you know, going to ultimately help on the EPS and price to earnings side. Now, this does imply a huge expansion in 2024 EPS of 334% up to that 0.17 full year earnings per share. Now, assuming a continued share price. So this is basically saying this is what kind of growth would be needed to maintain the share price in terms of both earnings and the valuation on those earnings. And this is the multiple that we come out to. So in order to do so, they would basically need to retain a 141 price to earnings multiple. And that would be the kind of forward-looking PE. Obviously, that is ridiculously high. That is needed to maintain this market cap here. And then the same goes for the assumed price to sales. Now, price to sales is much less growth because, you know, we're assuming right here 90% net income growth based on this margin expansion here. So that's why you see that discrepancy. But ultimately, they would need a little bit of expansion on the sales multiple and a whole ton of expansion on the EPS multiple. We see 83% would be needed to maintain this valuation, assuming this growth rate of earnings that management provided. Obviously, there's going to be some volatility within that. So let's go ahead and check out some of the other scenarios as well here. So we have our bull case. Of course, here we basically just doubled what management said. This is double the revenue growth that they implied, and this is the revenue that comes with that. We added 10% onto that earnings multiple to get this here. We get an implied net income of $773.75 million. Obviously, that's an explosion. We're maintaining the same amount of shares right here. This implies an EPS of 34 cents. That is huge growth. I mean, this probably isn't going to happen, but this is kind of the extreme outlook. That's the purpose of a bull case. If absolutely everything that goes right can, think of it as the opposite of Murphy's Law. That's what we're looking at with the bull case. Now, So in order to maintain their current multiple of around, 70 to 80 price to earnings, they would basically need to be achieving this level of growth, this kind of growth that you see over here in this column, in order to maintain this roughly 70 multiple and keeping that expansion. And then that's why we see the price to sales is roughly the same as well. So this bull case basically tells us what kind of performance the company is going to need on a fundamental basis to maintain its current valuation and to not see a share price decline alongside that. All right, and then getting into the bear case, we're going to spend less time here. This one probably won't happen, but it's going to be important for the weightings. Essentially, what we did here is reduce by half the guidance that management provided for revenue growth. We maintained net margins at that 9.43%. Now, everything else kind of derives from here. We can see that the assumed PE and the assumed price to sales is also ridiculous in this case, but that's exactly what would be needed given that it's a bear case to maintain this current share price that we see right here. All right, so what does this all mean? Let's think about it a little bit more probabilistically. If we weight some odds to these different things, then we can see that the bear case put at 50%, we can see essentially what this is going to give us is a total weighted EPS for 2024 at 20 cents. And applying the current share price to that, that would imply an earnings multiple of 124.97, basically 125x. That is an expansion by nearly, 80% expansion compared to what they have right now. Absolutely ridiculous to think that that would be possible. But, let's say that everything goes well for them and let's change up these odds a little bit. So if we assign probabilities that are needed to maintain its current valuation, basically, you would have to think that there is a 90% chance that the bull case is achieved in order to maintain this current valuation right here. And that implies an EPS growth of 32, or EPS for 2024 of 32 cents. That is pretty ridiculous. With all of these factors in mind, with these weightings in mind, let's go ahead and check out the WSO rating. Guys, what do we think about this one? Quite honestly, the fundamental performance is there. The valuation makes us a little bit nervous. If you're an absolute degenerate gambler and you think that, but when you're betting on valuation multiples expanding to support stock price growth, that is pure speculation. We're all about it over here at the Daily Peel. But with your own portfolio, you might want to be underweight this thing. So we would certainly recommend avoiding Palantir stock right now because who knows what's going to happen with that valuation multiple. Now, the Fed is cutting interest rates, which usually is supportive to valuation multiples applied to equities. But that's really the only case that we could see for maintaining it in the current range that it's in. What we're likely to see over time is its margins compress, its valuation compress, and as a result, that's going to be negative for the share price. But, if we can maintain this AI hype and its multiple can kind of stay as elevated as it will, this company is absolutely killing it on the earnings side of things. So if you think that they'll be able to maintain that valuation, please pour your entire life savings into the stock. But otherwise, if you do think that, you might actually be smoking a little bit of crack, which, in that case, invite me over to join you. But otherwise, avoid Palantir. We're not about it here at the Daily Peel. Guys, keep giving us the requests. We love doing these for you guys. We got some more coming out later on this week. We got some big news from some other stocks here earlier. We're going to break down Reddit. We're going to break down DJT or Trump Media and Technology Group as well over the coming days. So stay tuned for those. Thanks for joining us as always. Happy investing, happy trading. Bye now.
And thanks to you, my listeners at Wall Street Oasis. If you have any suggestions whatsoever, please don't hesitate to send them my way, Patrick at wallstreetoasis.com. Until next time.